Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini 141. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
All kinds of fun.
It is.
Having a good time.
Yeah. We are.
Guy night, right?
Laughing.
Lots of laughter. It's good.
Some appropriate, some not appropriate.
Some we can't share.
That's
some.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the creepies could hear.
It'd be something. Yeah, it's fun. And laughter is why they say good for the soul.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We accept sponsors. That's how we're going to sum that up.
Thanks, Sean.
I cleaned that up a bit, didn't I?
Fishes and lows.
Yeah. Fishes and lows.
That's right.
That's right. We are having fun, and hey, you know, let's just get right to it.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm just dying, you know. No, I'm literally dying.
You're like,
I'm sweating.
Right, yeah,
I've been
right.
Sick with my cold.
You got a fever over
there? Is it hot in here?
Man, I am sweating. Sean, what are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about the Morris Jamel Mansion. This is your pick, Todd.
Mm-hmm. I've had it on my list for a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it's been burning a hole in your list.
It's been burning a hole in my phone. A little foundation, please.
The Morris Jamel Mansion, also known as the Morris House, Mount Morris Jamel Mansion, and Morris Jamel Mansion Museum, that's all a mouthful, right, mm-hmm. is the 18th century historic house museum in the Washington Heights neighborhood of Upper Manhattan in New York City. It is the oldest extant house in Manhattan, having been built in 1765 by British military officer Roger Morris, and was also home to the family of socialite, Eliza Jamel in the 19th century. The New York City government has owned the house since 1903. The house's facade and interior are New York City designated landmarks, and the building is a National Historic Landmark, big shocker, right? And a contributing property to the Jamel Terrace Historic District.
Mm.
How's that for a foundation?
That was really something.
Do you like that?
General George Washington used it as a war room.
John Wayne? Oh, wait, no.
You don't say.
George Washington?
I do say.
He did. Well, he just did. Yeah. By the way, Miss Jamel, she lived till 90.
Ooh,
wow.
Yeah.
So the ripe old age.
Usually didn't live till 90.
No. Back
then. No, anyway, yeah, it's a beautiful house. Mm-hmm. It's got that those columns, the pillars I like. So I like that old style.
George Washington was there for just a month, right, in late 1776?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it was a home for Aaron Burr.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr, you say.
I've heard of that guy. Yeah, so it's got a lot of history, a lot of, you know, from the 1700s and 1800s. It's got some, yeah, I mean, obviously American Revolutionary War. So it's got a lot of history with, you know, generals and colonels and all that type stuff. Definitely an old house, obviously. So let's get right into some of the paranormal. Literally my phone went blank.
It
literally just went, boom. Okay, so let me get back to it.
The ghost don't want you to know.
Good grief. Yeah, so if you have some, I can't get to that.
Like most haunted locations, there is disembodied voices and also footsteps and sounds of objects moving around.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So that would constitute a haunting.
I would say so. Yeah,
I would think so.
Common stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You're run of the mill stuff that would send most people flying out of the door. Yeah. I've got CBS News. They did a story on the haunting ghosts at the New York City's Morris Jamel Mansion. As we said, it's it was the war room for General George Washington and home for Aaron Burr. Packed with history and just as many ghost stories. Vincent Carbone is quoted. He is a paranormal investigator. He says, "If there are such thing as ghosts, they are here." Okay, so paranormal investigation at the Morris Jamel Mansion. Carol Ward, the executive director of the mansion, she noted that there tends to be more activity during events and renovations, which they've said that a lot. Once houses or mansions or whatever, you know, they kind of mess with the interior or they remodel tends to upset the spirits. She said in the last week, portraits had been moved for an upcoming renovation. Carol said there tends to be more paranormal activity when she's around. She's been working at the mansion for 8 years, and she's the first female executive director of the mansion, and many believe that Eliza had feminist leanings, considering the way in which she'd managed to expand Stephen Jamel's fortune and hold on to it, in spite of being a woman. There have been other recent investigations at the mansion by outside groups, but they found little activity. Carol talked about some of her ghostly experiences in the mansion. For example, recently when a television crew was visiting the mansion, Carol heard a voice ask if everything was okay, but she couldn't find no one near the vicinity. The first area to be explored was the dining room. It says, we waited in the dark, keeping a distance from the EMF pumps, which started to lightly flicker. As Carol told us more history of the mansion, we all distinctly heard footsteps coming from the second floor when no one was on the second floor. Then Vinny started to notice activity on the K2 wires by the room where Eliza married Aaron Burr. The lights were moving from orange to red. More than that, the white noise scanner started to pick up a lot of static. So, yeah, according to Vinny. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Vinny.
Yeah, so.
He did. I saw some of the videos with him, too, and he's very mafia-esque.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw him.
Located just off 162nd Street in New York City's Washington Heights neighborhood, there is a historic mansion dating back to the Revolutionary War, said to be terribly haunted. The Morris Jamel Mansion, now a museum, functioned as George Washington's military headquarters, like we talked about, during the Battle of Harlem Heights. Now, that sounds like New York, but okay.
Yes, it does.
Later, former
1976.
Exactly. Later, Harlem Nights, right? Later, former Vice President Aaron Burr married its owner, Eliza Jamel, but they were only married for like a year, and then she divorced him, who was one of the wealthiest women in America upon her death in 1865.
Yep.
Funny thing about Aaron Burr,
at the ripe age of 90.
That's right. Aaron Burr is funny because they say that he is the biggest loser, the duel that he had with Alexander Hamilton. The wound he inflicted on Alexander Hamilton ended up killing him by the next day. And so Aaron Burr won that duel, but he basically, everybody demonized him, and Alexander Hamilton was like revered. Again, I don't know. Like, you still, historically speaking, you feel like Aaron Burr is a big, turd. But they say sometimes, actually, people say, Alexander Hamilton was actually kind of the turd. Wonderful things.
And he was a good actor. I don't understand, Burr was good.
Right?
What? In the court?
So.
Oh, that, I'm sorry. That's Raymond Burr. I'm sorry. I was really proud.
I thought you meant Hamilton, the stage show, and I was like, okay, I'll go with that. I've never seen it, by the way.
Raymond Burr is what I
okay.
I get it.
I was up on. It says, Jamel is said to haunt the mansion along with other past residents and soldiers from the War of Independence. Mm-hmm. Every year around Halloween, the museum offers ghost tours to educate the public about the house and its history of paranormal activity. There's all kind of it's the oldest surviving residence in Manhattan, and like you said, it's like gargantuan, really. Mm-hmm. It was built by Colonel Roger Morris, a loyalist who returned to England when the Revolutionary War broke out. That's interesting. It's build it and then leave it, right?
The same article that you're referencing, Todd, with Vinny. Mm-hmm. Chris and Vinny, they were, I believe, in the dining room area, and they heard laughter coming from the basement. No one was supposed to be in the mansion at the time, and they both looked at each other and a little anxiously. Running downstairs to find out who was there, they searched thoroughly but could not find a single person. The basement door was most certainly locked. They had no explanation for who was making these sounds. Noting that there had been little activity in the basement, Chris jokingly asked the ghost, "Do you want us to go upstairs and eat birthday cake?" In a deep, ghostly voice, Vinny quipped, "Yes." And the motion detector light flashed on. We took that as our cue. Mm.
You know, that sounds good, cake, actually.
It does, right? Right?
Yeah, this
hit
is
the spot right now.
The Burrows of the Dead.com. I like mm-hmm. that. Carol also was talking about the most famous incident in which a group of school children were waiting to get into the mansion. An elderly woman came out onto the second floor balcony and told them to be quiet. When a member of the museum staff showed up to let the children in, they asked about the woman on the second floor. No one should be in the mansion right now. When the children saw Eliza's portrait, they told the staff member that that was the woman they saw.
Mm.
Said there was a little activity on the second floor, but the EMF pumps were flickering blue ever so slightly in the area near George Washington's room.
Mm. That's creepy.
Can you imagine being a little kid seeing that?
No, there she is right there.
And, I mean, you know,
She looks like a delightful woman
kids, you know, they're gonna tell like it is, whether it's, you know.
They say the darndest things and they see the darndest things, right?
This, they do say the darndest.
Right.
Yeah, this place is awesome. I would love to see.
That's another art reference, right? Art link letter.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, I like to, you know, like they're talking about and the EMFs and K2 meters and mm-hmm. all that. I mean, when we've gone on our investigations, I know Erin, she's brought some stuff, you know, and all that.
Her toys.
Oh, yeah. But I know how they work as far as like watching the shows and reading mm-hmm. about them, but we've never used, or, you know, so it'd be kind of fun to kind of, you go to a place like this, maybe buy a couple of gadgets, mm-hmm. you know, so, but it seems like they have, you know, they have response to,
yeah.
To something.
Certainly old enough to have enough history to have a lot of spirits pass through here. Sure. This is interesting. It says, after Stephen Jamel died in 1832, Eliza Jamel married former Vice President Aaron Burr. She filed for divorce less than a year later and successfully protected the fortune she accrued from real estate investments in what is now Lower Manhattan. Mm. She died in her bedroom on the mansion's second floor in 1865 with a net worth of $1 million, or around $15 million today, which would make her the richest woman in America at that time. It says the New York Times reported in 1981 that Eliza Jamel negotiated a $2,000 discount on the house because even then it was said to be haunted by a ghost of a Hessian soldier who fought in the Revolutionary War. Visitors and employees of the museum have also reported incidents of paranormal activity since it opened to the public in 1904. Some tour groups have claimed to see Jamel in full period dress on the second floor balcony. Tour guides say they've heard voices and footsteps with no one else present. Others report running into that same soldier we're talking about. He normally appears on the stairs.
Oh.
The museum staff keeps a record of these unexplained encounters known as the Book of Haunts.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't that cool?
Well, that gives me an idea.
Mm.
Maybe when we start going back to places, maybe
we seriously, have, maybe, we have maybe a book have, of haunts.
Maybe have like some type of
a book of creepy.
Yeah,
book of Mako.
I like that. No, I don't like the book of Mako. Book of creepy.
Book of creepy.
Yeah. And then when we can start a cookbook, and we can call it the cookbook of creepy. No, never mind. No, I like that though. Like, we can literally jot down because we remember them now. But
Sean, write that down.
That's right. Literally. Like, but are we going to remember some of the stuff 5 years, 10 years from now?
Oh yeah.
I mean, forever. So really, when we go to Randolph County Asylum, or we go to back to Waverly, mm-hmm. and wherever places we haven't been, bring a book and take notes or whatever, and then put it in that book.
Isn't that what this podcast is? We're keeping record of all our experiences.
I don't know. I don't really listen to our
podcast. I was going to say, loosely.
Well, I mean, I do.
We can figure it all out, but it might take us a while.
Not like, yeah.
I'm kidding, yeah.
No,
I think it's a great idea.
I think that'd be kind of cool. Yeah, the book of creepy. I like that. I'm going to give you props for that. It's pretty impressive.
I know. I told you, steel trap. It's like, maybe like a sieve. But.
Something trap.
Rat trap.
Mouse trap.
Yeah, right. What more like got? Squirrels and monkeys up here, but yeah.
What mm-hmm. do you got there, Mr. Nate? What do you have? You look very intent on something.
I'm doing a lot of skim reading, trying to find more stuff. There is like a, what is it, like a Haitian soldier from the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
That's said to be roaming around.
Yeah.
They've taken like those light up cat toys, little balls or whatever.
Those never lie.
And they put them in rooms and stuff, and they'll light up and move around a little bit. So, yeah, there's definitely some activity going on.
They says in the months leading up to Halloween, the Morris Jamel Mansion offers two spooky tour experiences. in addition to its regular schedule. The 75-minute candlelight ghost tour, where guides share ghost stories related to the home, costs $39.19. Why don't they just make it 40?
I don't know. Or 30, I have no idea.
Anyway.
It's what they settled on. It's okay.
It gets
$2.
Yeah. And then it goes, then the paranormal investigation lasting 2.5 hours, that'd be cool, and featuring the use of paranormal investigative equipment. This costs you $65.87.
Might as well be 66.
You better have your darn 87 cents, Nate. Don't be. and then Madeline Mungo.
I like that. That's a name.
They call her Eminem.
Eminem, yep.
The mansion's public programs and visitor services manager recommend that I book the paranormal investigation for a more ghostly experience. Says, I'm not a big believer in ghosts and paranormal activity, but I do love exploring haunted places in the name of journalism.
That's what I was going to say. I love the fact that this place plays on the haunting part of it.
You know, yeah.
They don't deny it, and they record it.
I think most of those places do, though, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've done places, whether it's battlefields or mansions or just the town, right? With like Revolutionary War or Civil War.
There's your cat ball.
What is that?
Lit up on the mantle. Yeah. That's cool.
But I don't think any of those places, like any of these type locations or individual buildings, whatever, I think they welcome the paranormal. Mm-hmm. I don't think they shy away. You know what I'm saying? It's not like some hotel that's built in 1975. They might not really want all that attention, but I think because of the history and all that took place and the historical, not just like the history, but like meaning like, oh, it's 300 years old, but it mean all the different, yeah, with the soldiers and Aaron Burr and George Washington and all the main characters and all the different incidents. And I think I would be very shocked if they did not want to embrace the paranormal. You know, I mean, I could be surprised, but I think most places like that do.
They said on one of the tours they were giving, they were in the octagon room across from one of the, where they had all the, you know, paraphernalia and everything and the cat balls. It said they assembled to talk about the Morris family and the history of the house. And one of the cat balls, the cat ball was inside the octagon room. It went off while they were sitting there talking. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Then, what was the Aaron brought when we're at the Whispers of State, Nate, Sean? What was it? Didn't she had something that,
it was a cat, teddy bear or something.
Teddy bear. That, yeah. Yeah, that I you know what's funny is like, I had heard it before we went on the, you know, because that was the night we met Aaron for the first time and we went on the investigation, but before then and but then certainly afterwards, that's a very, of all this technical equipment and expensive equipment and all the things, the gadgets that they can use. The bears and the little cats and all that, or the, you know, light up this and light up that, mm-hmm. or just the, you know, the cat ball, anything that responds to movement or something, that's really like one of the most popular type gadgets to document paranormal activity.
Well, it says those cat balls are supposed, they're to light up like that. They're supposed to be touched. Yeah. And they said that when these light up, it's like,
or like the bear, you know, you touch it, it's going to react.
What's
to something.
Causing it to do that? Yeah.
It's not just going to vibrate and bounce. Yeah. It's just funny because it's like, that's, you know, they're not that expensive, you know? So it's like, wow, that really would be, you know, just put them around different places, you know, and see what lights up or see what starts vibrating and bouncing around. Yeah. What else do you guys have? It's a really cool place. I'd love to go see it, but I don't know when I'll get to New York anytime soon.
A teacher that had a heart condition had a fatal heart attack after seeing an apparition.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, after they saw the apparition. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Ooh.
Hans Holzer advises that the ghosts don't hurt people and people shouldn't be afraid of them because they're just beings in trouble with themselves.
Yeah, Hans Holzer, he's passed now, and his daughter has kind of picked up the mantle for the investigations, but he's one of the first, like, or the first ghost hunter, ghost investigator, mm-hmm. or paranormal investigator. Mm-hmm. And so, he went to all these different famous places that, you know, and documented what he saw and what he experienced. And then, her and Dave Ramsey, Dave Schrader. Gosh, I know people are going to laugh. Dave Schrader.
That's close to Ramsey.
Gosh. That's it, yeah.
By the way, next door.
He's going to tell you.
next door to Ramsey.
Yeah. Well, Dave. From Wendy's. No, but Dave Schrader, and her, they actually had a show, I don't know how long, a year or two, a couple of years, revisiting the places that her dad went to.
That's cool.
And so so he had documented all these different locations and all the stuff that he saw and experienced, and then they went back and kind of relived what he saw and for themselves too. I thought, but Hans Holzer, very.
I kind of love that.
I know. I think
you think our kids someday will do that with us.
No,
after we're long gone,
they're probably going to see how much they can get out of these
exactly
microphones.
All this equipment. Where are we sitting all this crap?
yeah, it's just collected. That. Yeah, no, but that's Hans Holzer is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's.
There was a Sunday that somebody walked in, the house was empty, and the room's original piano forte started playing music on its own.
Oh, I love that.
And then there's a decorative old clock that has like a moon face on the top of it. And it says, in the dining room, there was a clock decorated with a moon, said to wink at handsome men. So they said that people have said that the moon and it's obviously not designed to do that. So,
well, I mean, if we went there, my gosh, it'd be, we'd probably break the machine.
Yeah.
Know, it'd be doing it.
Oh, wait, back and forth.
Or a laugh.
You know, like steam coming out of it. So it says the moon is known to be flirty is what this says.
Flirty.
Flirty moon. Yeah.
Flirty moon.
It's a haunted flirty moon.
Well, when I would moon people, women, that's my way of flirting. Mm-hmm. I mean, not now. I'm married.
Put that thing away. No, that's help me.
No, that is funny, though. That is really funny. Nate?
There's an apparition of a young servant girl in great distress.
Oh.
Has been seen on the top floor where the servants' quarters were located. She had jumped out of the window to her death after becoming romantically involved with one of the members of the family.
I knew it. How many times? It's the same story.
These
heartbroken women.
And an enthusiastic, history-loving children's teacher who had bounded up the stairs to the top floor, eager to see the mansion from top to bottom. He fainted in fright when confronted by the ghost of a revolutionary soldier who had stepped out of a painting, apparently still providing security for Washington. The soldier has been seen on another occasion by another teacher as well.
Whoa, that's a different one. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that one before. Stepping out of the painting.
Oh, that's weird.
Wow, that's cool.
This is the parlor that served as George Washington's war room in 1776. Seems particularly active. It says there was an enslaved man named William Billy Lee. This says during an investigation, many people.
William Billy Lee?
That's what it says, yeah.
So Billy William Lee.
William Lee. William Lee, but he goes
Billy Lee.
I think it's Billy Lee is what he liked to be called. It says, during this investigation, many people's EMF meters, including my own, flashed yellow, orange, and red as they explained that Lee was a constant present at Washington's side for 2 decades and was the only enslaved person freed in his will. It says, he's excited to hear you, a member of our group said of Lee. William Lee always responds, said this, the leader of the tour. This, it says, did the presence of electromagnetic energy indicate the ghost of Lee? Were all the EMF meters in the small space simply activating each other? Perhaps the EMF meter was responding to the electric candles placed on the windowsills to fill the room with flickering yellow glow. None of them seemed to know how those devices would end up affecting each other.
Right.
But it says they did appreciate that there was some kind of acknowledgement when they were talking about Washington's complicated history as a slave owner as part of the tour. So I think that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. I think I'm going to wrap it up.
All righty.
Because this is going to turn into a full.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
We had a lot of good stories on this place.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we probably could have done a full. So Karen Compton, who works at the mansion, she said, She uses dowsing rods to detect paranormal activity at the mansion. Dowsing rods have historically been used to locate underground water sources. Compton said, the L-shaped tools feature long sticks that swing from side to side, even when held still by their handles. She's quoted saying, the idea is that if they cross, then you've found a spirit. Would anyone like to try them? So this guy is from the Business Insider. He said, I volunteered. I tried to stay perfectly still, but I could feel the way the slightest movement would cause the rods to swing. He says, Compton said, Eliza, are you here? Compton asked. After a few seconds, the rods crossed. I wasn't convinced that a ghost had caused the movement, but I was excited that something had happened. I handed them to another member of the group, and the rods pointed towards a lamp in the corner of the room. Compton explained that everything in the room was original except for the carpeting and that lamp. The original fixture shattered during the installation of new carpet, which some interpreted as Jamel expressing her displeasure at the design choice. And Compton asked, someone asked, do you like the carpet now? And the rods remained still.
Interesting.
There you go. That's the Morris Jamel Mansion. So
she has an opinion after all this time.
I guess.
Right?
Yep. I guess.
She deservedly so, I would say.
Right? I say she should, yeah. I hope they enjoyed that. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, we probably could have made a
full. That's a good one.
Nate, what do you have to say, sir?
Well, if I got in trouble, would you guys come bail me out of Jamel?
I would.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, you run the board.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Sean? Nah, he's
I thought you were going to say don't encourage him.
Don't you get in trouble, though, Nate. And, of course, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to Middle Age Mini number 140 and our discussion on the eerie Morris Jamel Mansion. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.